Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, my co-host, and one of my very good friends, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing, pal?
Hey, outstanding, Jonathan. Outstanding. We've got a great show lined up here today.
Yeah, you know, we're going in a little bit of a different direction today. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit of sports content in the beginning, but then we're going to get into talking about sports fan behavior. We're going to have kind of a little panel here. Jim Williams from the CLW83 Network and JimWilliamsOnTheAir.com is going to be joining us, as well as other fans. We're going to try to get as many calls in as possible today to talk about sports fan behavior. So if you're interested in calling and talking with us, the phone number is 347-237-5373, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Well, I'd particularly like to hear from folks in the New York area, because when we get into this, we're going to started off by talking a little bit about Fireman Ed. So I'd like to hear what the thinking is from some folks up there. I'd also really like to hear, I don't know whether anybody's willing to admit it or not, that perhaps maybe their behavior at an event, I don't care what it was, I don't care if it was a baseball game, a football game, hockey game, if they feel that perhaps maybe their own personal behavior was a little bit out of line and they're willing to admit to it, well, what the heck? I mean, we've all done some things at different times. Hey, call in and share that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, we definitely welcome that. It'd be nice to hear from one of those fans who, have the moniker of a super fan and go a little too far during games.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, before we get to that, we got a couple of things we're going to speak about real quick here first. Sam Gordon, the 9-year-old girl, football sensation, Mike, that we spoke about weeks ago on the show when we found out about how she was just terrorizing Pee-wee football boys on the field. She was honored, and she's on the Wheaties cereal box. I mean, she's on the box of Wheaties.
Yep.
You and I have spoken about this before. I'm a little against it. Mike, what are your feelings on it?
Well, listen, she's adorable, honestly.
Absolutely.
I made the comment to you, Jonathan, that we were a little bit ahead of the curve, because I think we were bringing the story up really before it kind of got national traction.
Yeah, because once we did it, all of a sudden it's on Good Day America, Good Morning America, TMZ, whatnot, you know what I mean? So
she was interviewed on ESPN, and I mean, she really is adorable. She's really funny, and she's cute. And
she's a great talent.
I'm going to tell you something, too.
Let's go.
For her age, really, really mature. I mean, she spoke very, very articulately. Let's put it that way, for somebody who's only 9.
Yeah.
But you know what worries me, and I don't know, maybe this is my parental thing coming out of me, maybe it's my former teacher thing coming out of me. It worries me when we start taking kids this young and giving them this kind of national celebrity, putting the spotlight on them so immensely as we do. The whole, what's that goofy Tierra's show where they dress the kids up? I mean, it's grotesque. No, it really is. I mean, it's disturbing.
No, it is.
You start to wonder, are we, let the kid be a kid, really. Because you hear so many terrible things that happen to some of these young people that get celebrity this quick. How's this going to be met next season when she hits the field again? Is she suddenly going to be the point of taunting and bullying by some of the boys, perhaps, that are going to be jealous of it and that sort of thing? So, these are the kinds of things that I just worry about. And like I said, it probably goes back to just the fact that, being a parent and a former teacher.
No, well, listen, here's where I'm against it. I love what you had to say. I totally agree with that. As Jim wrote in our chat room, the show you were talking about was Toddlers and Tiaras.
Okay.
There's also shows like that, Honey Boo Boo, and all that other garbage that's on American TV right now. But here's where I stand. There have been so many athletes who worked so hard and did so much to get on the box of Wheaties, and we're known for what they have done.
Right.
Now, whatever. Congratulations. She's a girl in Boys Pee Wee Football League. She's 9 years old. She really hasn't done anything really deserving of being on the Wheaties box, Mike.
Okay.
You know, having her on the news programs and talking to her and whatnot, that's great. But being on the Wheaties box, that is something that
so you're
whole, dream about.
So you're whole, you, the Wheaties box to you is the gold standard.
It is, because if you go back, you know, maybe not so much now as it used to be in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s and the 50s or whatnot, but being on the Wheaties box, I mean, you know, let alone you watch a TV show or a movie, and when you hear kids grow up, they say, oh, man, we can't wait to be on the cover of Wheaties. We're going to be there one day.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
So
what you had to say, but then at the same time, it's, you know, so like, you know what, even Jim just said, he goes, Wheaties is the breakfast of champions. You know, it's, you know, he says champion is winning more than just a title, which I do agree about. But at the same time, a 9-year-old girl who played a few Pee Wee football games, to me, that's not a champion. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, I love the girl. She's amazing. Great skill. Great talent. She's just a ham, you know. Sweet Feet Gordon is what they're calling her. You know, good for her. Congratulations, but that's just my opinion. I just don't agree with it.
Well, so what's General Mills going for here? Are they going for the cute factor? Is that what it was all about or what?
I think they're going for the factor that really there ain't nobody to put in a Wheaties box anymore.
We've lost all of our champions.
Seriously, who are you going to put in a Wheaties box? Ron Artest? Andrew Bynum? You know, a toothless hockey player for, you know, gooning it up on the ice? Or, you know what, maybe Lamar Houston from the Oakland Raiders for me this week. I mean, seriously, who else can you put it on there?
Goodness, it's funny. That is funny. Well, listen, like I said, I think she's cute. I really don't have an issue with it. I guess maybe, I think you're right. I think society has kind of, maybe perhaps we have diminished.
Wheaties gone, Mike. It's done.
We have diminished, though, the value of the Wheaties box, I think.
Like hey, you Jim just said, you know what? Why don't we put Carlos Ruiz on the Wheaties box?
Oh.
You know? He's going to need that money for his 25-game suspension.
Well, you know, maybe with the new formula Wheaties. Maybe they introduced the new formula Wheaties.
The enhanced Wheaties.
Wheaties. Oh, goodness.
Hey, listen, I won't buy it. Yeah. All right. Guess what? We're going to jump out of that. We're going to go into hockey here, Mike. You sent me something today. A Flyers season ticket holder wants fans to boycott the home opener if the NHL ever returns from its labor war. Bill O'Toole says whether it's next year or this year, the first game back should be an empty Wells Fargo Center, talking about the home of the Philadelphia Flyers. You know what? You got people. We had TJ Tully on one of our shows many, many weeks ago, you know, talking about the whole boycotting businesses and whatnot. I hate to say, when are these people going to realize it's not going to go nowhere? As soon as hockey returns, the stands are going to be filled.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's my read on it. And I wish Bill O'Toole were listening. I'd love to hear his thoughts on it, and he can call us in.
I'm sorry, but he's acting like a tool.
Yeah, thank you. And that's exactly what I was going to say. This is stupid, okay? We're going to boycott it after the fact. You're going to boycott the stadium after the fact. So they resolve everything, and we get a new CBA in place, and then, let's show our displeasure after the fact. Wait a minute. We should be showing our displeasure right now. But you want to boycott something, do what TJ Tully's talking about, JT Tully's doing.
But let me say this now. Even if it does come back and the Wells Fargo Center has no fans there, they're still going to make money off of their TV contract.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to fill up and sell out game two. So what the hell is that going to do for anybody?
Right. Exactly. It's a stupid concept. I'm glad it only got the three paragraphs that it did where was this? This was in Philly.com. I'm glad it only got the three paragraphs it did. Frankly, I don't even know if it deserves that much. It's a stupid concept.
Listen, who wrote it? Sam Carcini?
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Listen, what is Bill O'Toole's friend? Like, how the hell did he find this guy in order to get this one sentence from him and quote him on it?
Yep.
Seriously, it was just ridiculous. Sam Carcini, thanks for wasting Philadelphia Sports Times fans with this garbage that you put out there today.
You got it.
Awful. Awful. Bill O'Toole, you too, man. You know what? Give your season tickets to somebody who wants them.
Yeah, really.
You know, sell them and donate the money to charity. You know, put your money where your mouth is, tool boy.
That's ridiculous.
Right. Well, guess what? It's Phillies time. I know Jim's going to like this. Jim's in our chat room. He's getting ready to call in. So let's talk about this. CBS Phillies saying today that the Philadelphia Phillies are accounting for over a quarter of the MLB drug suspension since 2009.
Yeah.
That's a lot, Mike.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And it came as a bit of a surprise to me. Now, of course, this is all coming on the heels of Carlos Ruiz being, the announcement yesterday that he failed a drug test, performance enhancement. Apparently it was Adderall, that he'll be suspended for 25 games on the front end of the upcoming season.
Yes.
It's a funny thing, too, and you know, I'm a Phillies follower, so you don't realize until it's put down in writing like this and they start to break it down, you know, all of the different violations there have been since 2009. You don't really realize that. I mean, you hear about it at the time that it occurred, but then when you start seeing it in print like this, it kind of sends home a message, and you sit there going, scratching your head, you know, wow. I put up a note on our Frat House Facebook comment this morning along with this article. I said, geez, I thought that just last season, I thought last season was just junk.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't realize it was being run by junkies.
It's, listen, man, let me tell you this. I know that the Phillies, the name, the organization is being called out in this article because they account for, you know, a quarter of the MLB drug suspension, but what they don't say is that it's the Philadelphia players. I'm sure the Philadelphia Phillies, just like any other Major League Baseball team, is taking its actions against these players who are found out. And I'm sure they're taking actions to try to get players not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fair saying that the Phillies organization, you know, accounts for over a quarter of the MLB drug suspensions. Because, you know, I hate to say it, I mean, you know, these players are coming up from the minors doing it.
Yeah, well, sure.
You know, and before the minors, where were they in? In a college, on some other amateur baseball team. It, you know, it sucks. J.C. Romero, Freddie Galvis, Carlos Ruiz, Pablo Azuna, Kevin Franson. I mean, they've had their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame for the organization. I think it scars the organization. Yes, and this is coming from a Mets fan. Listen.
Well, I think, though, here's a one question, and I'll stick up for my Phillies for a second. I'm not going to stick up for them too much, but I'm going to stick up for them this way. Is it a situation where it's more rampant on the Phillies, or is it just a situation where our guys don't hide it as well? I mean, let's get it straight, Jonathan. You and I have talked about this situation before, and we have read reports even recently where, in fact, there have been reports left and right that Major League Baseball drugs are running rampant through it.
Yeah.
Right? When we all thought that it was over and done with, you know, when our commissioner had said, you know, that the era of performance enhancement is gone, it's done. Well, no, that's not the case at all. There were so many reports coming out, particularly at the end of the season, pointing fingers from different players, pointing fingers at different players, what have you, indicating that, you know, it goes on in this team, it goes on in this team. So, you know, is it a situation where the Phillies, where it's more rampant? Or is it a situation where they just got caught? So,
I you know what? It's more rampant in baseball. Jim said it just now too. He just hit the nail on the head. It's more rampant in baseball. You hear about this stuff in football, just not as much. You barely or rarely ever hear about it in hockey and basketball.
Right. Right.
Now, I hate to say it, I do agree to the point where the leagues need to do something to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are ways to do it, but they keep talking about how they're taking these steps, these necessary steps to do it, but yet they're not doing it.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know. Honestly, to me, it's never going to stop.
No, it's not, because, look, there's always going to be something new. See, before, when we were talking about the steroid era, okay, the era of Mark McGwire, the era of Sammy Sosa, what we were talking about there were steroids.
Steroids.
All right, we're into something new. See, they're no longer using those types of steroids.
No,
now we're into performance enhancement.
Well, that's the thing.
Like,
you know, when you had Mark McGwire, you know, you're talking about Androstenedione, you're talking about creatine.
Exactly.
And now it's these, you know, straight up shooting up PEDs that's going on.
Exactly. And so, I've heard the statement made, and as much as I hate to admit it, as much as it bothers me, we've heard the statement made. You know, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter how many restrictions you put in there, there's going to be athletes that are always going to try to find the next best thing that's going to give them an edge.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what, Mike? I think it's time to get into our whole fan behavior thing. What do you think?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring Jim in right now. So joining us on the line is Jim Williams from the CLW 83 Network and also from JimWilliamsOnTheAir.com.
Oh, thank you.
What's going on, bud?
Hey, John. Hey, Mike. Listening to the show, great stuff. And if I may quickly backtrack to one thing about the last topic you were talking about.
Absolutely.
What it comes down to is very simply this, and you may have addressed this when I was trying to click in via Skype. You can put as many different, save zones, tests, what have you, as you can in when it comes to ridding the game of performance-enhancing drugs. But the science is always going to be 2 to 3 steps ahead of those tests, so you can never completely eradicate it.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know what? Even when you're talking about technology, no matter how many times you come up with, a virus protection scan, new viruses are going to come out to beat that virus protection scan.
Exactly.
Same thing with steroids, no matter how much you're up on it. And then you're going to have guys like, what's his name, from Balco, that Conti guy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. He's going to come up and he's going to make his own line of steroids that are going to beat the testing that's out there.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what he's known for. He beat the Olympic steroid testing and drug testing.
Exactly.
Well, and then let's not forget, too, we also have things like CBAs, okay, that protect some of these guys. I mean, take a look at the whole situation with Braun last year. The guy gets off on a technicality because of the way the sample was handled.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all of us out there who want to preserve the game and make sure that it's clean, we're sitting back in utter disgrace over the whole thing.
Yeah.
And this guy gets off because of technicalities and because he's got a Major League Baseball Players Association that's going to back him.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's who you know in this day and age. And you talk about preserving the game. It's impossible to truly preserve the integrity of the game. You can do everything you possibly can. It just ain't going to happen.
Yeah. And who can you blame for that? You know, it's, you know, to me, the finger needs to be pointed at many different people, and not just you know, not just the player. I'm sorry about it, you know, because
kids,
you know, these kids are coming out of high school and college now, all juiced up already. So,
indeed.
You know, blame the colleges. You can blame the high schools. You can bring the professional leagues. You can blame the unions. You know, it's not going to stop because there's just so many people involved in it.
Well, before we jump off the subject, Jim, I got a question for you. Now, you made the observation. I think it's accurate that it seems to be more prevalent in baseball, that, you know, we hear about it, yes, sometimes in football, rarely hear about it in basketball and hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is that?
Well, a very good question. In the case of hockey, it's because it's the fourth sport in this nation, and, you know, nobody really covers hockey. Sorry, NBC Sports Network doesn't count. Sorry. With basketball, it wouldn't make as big a dent because I hate to say it, I think to a certain extent the preconceived notions are it's part of the culture already in basketball, even though it's a part of the culture in baseball right now too. It's tough for me to gauge. I think it's just people – I think part of it also is the fact that where baseball is a 6-month, 7-month, 8-month long sport, you got to find news, you got to find, you know, this, that, and the other. It goes back to the media as well. So
Right.
Yeah. Your connection's getting a little staticky there, Jim. So.
Oh, I apologize. If push comes to shove, I'll just call back on the...
Yeah, you know what? Let's do that now. I'll hang up on you now. Just call right back in. We'll patch you right back in because it's a little staticky. So.
There you go.
My apologies.
No problem.
No problem. Don't worry. Just call right back. Yeah. Well, no. You know what? Listen, you made a good point. You know, I necessarily don't agree with hockey because, you know, just because it's not covered as hardcore in the U.S., like football and baseball are, it's still covered like that in Canada. If something breaks in Canada, it's going to trickle down into America. So,
well, I would think, though, and here's where I find it a little bit interesting. You take a look at sports like basketball and hockey, which are very, very demanding sports from the standpoint of stamina.
Yeah.
I mean, you're skating all around the ice. You're running up and down the floor. There's body contact. I'm surprised that we're not seeing more performance enhancement in those two sports just because of the nature of the sports.
You know what? I'm going to go out and say I'm sure that there's been a lot of people that have done it already in hockey and probably just never got caught, but I think it might have been that it just tapered down to the point where they can't catch it. But let's get Jim right back in now. Hey, Jim, you back?
Can I enter and sign in, please?
There you go, man. There you go. Sorry about
there
that,
we
Jips.
Go. No yeah. problem. Hey, hey, the internet is for porn. I was too busy looking at Miss November. No,
that's right, baby. I Miss November Jen Wilkie on Fan Junkies.
Shucky, ducky, quack, quack. Hey, just trying to promote and help the cause there. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, listen.
There you go. There you go.
I'm a company.
We'll mention that at the end of the show about Jen Wilkie. We have to speak about that because
she's
a lovely
lady.
She is, man. She's such a sweetheart. We'll be talking about that later. But, you know what, let's get back into, you know, what we're – well, actually, let's get past what we were talking about. Let's get into the whole fan behavior thing that we were going to be speaking about today.
Yeah.
This all started on Facebook and Fan Junkies a couple of nights ago when a good friend of mine, Christian Dyer, who writes for Metro New York, covers the New York Jets, he had an exclusive story that Fireman Ed, the New York Jets' official mascot, will no longer be playing mascot in the stands and doing his J-E-T-S Jets chant because he's just tired of what's been going on and, you know, with the fans coming up to him and I guess getting a little too rowdy for him now. So, let me mention this first. I think it trickled down to the effect where people were bashing him and bashing this whole thing because he said he was going to retire as being what he is, which is just a fan. How do you retire being a fan if you're still going to be going to the games?
Oxymoronic. A little bit.
Oh, Jim, you're breaking up again, man.
I'm sorry. I don't know if it's my internet or whatnot. I might. Let me call back. I'll reboot the modem. How about that?
All right. We'll be waiting for you, buddy.
All right.
See, man, you know what, man? You can't trust the internet these days. Skynet's taking over.
To get into this a little bit though, he had indicated too that some of the recent, I guess, abuse, if we want to use that word, that he has taken from fans resulted from the fact he was wearing a Sanchez jersey.
Yeah.
Now,
listen, why? Because he backed a player that he likes.
Well,
I backed many players that weren't great players. I was never attacked for it. But now is that because Ed's out there? You know, and he's known, or is it because there's just that much hatred against Mark Sanchez right now in the Jets? I mean, you know, many questions you can ask, Mike.
Well, we've talked about this before, though, and it comes down to the fact that, look, let's get here. Forget people that hate Sanchez.
Yeah.
All right. You've got two quarterbacks. All right. You got Mark Sanchez, who's the starter. You got Tim Tebow, who is the backup. All right. Now, fans are looking at Ed, and they're saying, the guy's wearing a Sanchez jersey. He's not one of us, okay? They're probably the Tebow faction out there. They're the people that want to see Tim Tebow in there. Is this an issue with Ed? I don't think so. He's doing the right thing. He's wearing the jersey of the guy that is currently the starting quarterback.
Well, not even that. I mean, you know, once this story broke, I started to really dive into it. I'm reading comments, whether it was on Metro New York, the JetsBlog.com or Brian Bassett, whoever else took this story from Chris Dyer, posted it. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, really dive into it and figure out. And let me tell you, 98% of the New York Jets fan base, they don't like this guy.
Well,
and that, you know, to me, that's a first because when Ed Anzalone was first coming out, I mean, he was just embraced by the entire Jets fan base. Everybody got behind the J-E-T-S Jets. And I don't care what anybody says. The people who actually are bashing Ed Anzalone right now, I guarantee you they have chanted that alongside of him.
Absolutely.
All right, wait. Let me just get Jim back on here. Jim, welcome back to the show.
If Fireman Ed is behind my not being able to talk, I am going to raise hell.
Actually, no. It's the Philly fanatic and the gobbledygooker, man. I'm telling you.
All right. Am I coming in okay now?
Sounds much better.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds much better, man.
Reboot.
So,
yes.
So here, listen, Jim. Like I just said, to me, the people, the Jets fan base. Like I said, when Ed Anzalone first came in, mm-hmm. and you know, he was embraced.
Sure.
Now the people are bashing him, and I guarantee you, the people who are bashing him are the same people that once cheered J-E-T-S Jets next to him. But before we get into that really quick, we have another caller. Let me just bring this call in to see what it is. 732 area code. You're on the air.
Hey, hello there.
Hello?
Hey, hello, gang.
Yeah, you're a little staticky, 732.
You're not hearing me, huh?
I hear it clear.
Actually, you know what? You sound like Optimus Prime, which is pretty cool. Are you getting ready to take on the Decepticons? If you could call it back in, that would be great, 732.
Yeah.
He sounded clear to me, but okay.
Nah, even you're breaking up too now, Jim.
Maybe it's your end, not my end.
No, you're fine now. Once
now,
I hung up on
now
this
it's
phone,
good.
You're
yeah,
fine.
Now we're good.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Hey, my end, because Mike sounds great, but Mike usually sounds great. So.
There you go.
Okay, now let's get into this. Now, we spoke a lot about this the other night between Jim, Mike, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, first, let me get your comments on this whole Fireman Ed thing.
I'm going to be talking like an oxymoronic hypocrite in about 5 seconds, because there are so many different angles to this. Okay. Him retiring and saying he's going to retire the way he did, he opens himself up for ridicule, because it's at the same point that a team is doing atrociously bad, it's in the middle of a season, so on and so forth. But this speaks to a bigger issue, the whole concept of the super fan, and I'm sure we're going to cross that in just a moment.
Yeah.
For all the good things that Fireman Ed has done, and he does a lot of charity work, and the man is a real firefighter, so he risks his life every day. God bless him. I have the utmost respect for him in those regards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, in the words of Stephen A. Smith, when you become the type of superfan that, rightly or wrongly, whether it's you're doing or not, that comes off as becoming bigger than the game, that's where I see a problem. And I think Fireman Ed thinks he's bigger than the, or maybe not thinks it, but is projected by the powers that be, media, as bigger than the game. If Tim Tebow came to town, who's the first person we should interview? Fireman Ed!
Yeah.
You know, the radio, this, that, and the other. And it's not just Fireman Ed. I'll bring it back to Philadelphia. The Dirty 30.
Mm-hmm.
The whack pack, if you will, of Eagles fans from WIP. I'm
right.
not big on them either.
No.
I think they are, what's the word I'm looking for? Ah, yes, imbecilic.
I agree.
They give the bad stereotype of Philadelphia Eagles fans. I mean, go back to the Donovan McNabb drafting in 1999.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's across the country, but I'll let you guys chime in now.
It's your show. But Jim, I'm going to jump in there. I think there's a great deal of difference between Fireman Ed and what we saw, during the draft in 1999.
Oh, absolutely.
What those Eagles fans did, in my opinion, was absolutely despicable. Fireman Ed is simply making a statement. And he's, in my opinion, he's done nothing more than just been a good fan.
Yeah, well, with being a good fan might come certain things. For example, he mentioned that the behavior of fellow fans, especially the last few years, has been less than tolerable, to say the least.
Right.
And whether he wants to admit it or not, he's part of the reason that's happening.
Yeah.
Maybe not a big part, but he's a part. When he riles up the crowd with the JETS, 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 as the unofficial mascot, you're going to get certain drunk, inebriated fans who will go and fly off the handle. That just goes with the territory.
But this guy's been doing this since 1975.
Sure.
I mean, so obviously, you know, you're saying he's part of the problem, but obviously, we know it. The entire atmosphere has changed, obviously, since 1975.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
He wasn't a problem in 1975. There weren't people coming up and abusing him in 1975.
I'm going to completely disagree. I'm sure there were people. There have to have been. Again, it comes to the law of averages, and it comes back to the dreaded five-letter M word, the media. The media in 1975 didn't cover it nearly as much as they do today. You've got the TMZ types of this world, which I know, Mike, you love. Smirk, smirk. They are out for every little piece of grubby news that's bad. Kind of the whole Philadelphia boot Santa Claus, Philadelphia...
Right.
Michael Irvin, you know, that kind of thing. It's the mentality of the media, too, and they perpetrate a lot of this.
Well, you make a very valid point, and in fact, I was prepared for exactly what you just brought up. There was an article in USA Today from October 9th, written by Chuck Culpepper, where he talks about fan behavior. And in there, he one of the paragraphs, it reads, old newspaper front pages contain the same ghastly, somber stories seen today on local news channels. Fans of a century ago heckled Ty Cobb, once beaten up in the stands, and heckled probably even more viciously. Detroit fans hurled debris at St. Louis Cardinals outfielder Joe Medwick during Game 7 of the 1934 World Series. Phillies fans throwing bottles in 1949. Senators fans storming the field in 1971. Snowballs in New York, beer bottles in Cincinnati. We can go on and on and on, but what is the lingering image for all of us? Let's get it straight. Now I'm talking, it's not Culpepper. What's the lingering image? It's Game 6, where Atlanta completely destroys their own field in this past year's baseball playoffs because they disagreed with an umpire's call.
Mm-hmm. It goes all around, man. You know what? You can't just point one finger at one specific team. I mean, it's coming from everywhere.
It's nationwide, sure.
I think, Jim, though, your point is valid from the standpoint that it's the attention that it's getting, as pointed out by Culpepper in the USA Today article. Is it really more of a problem today than it was before?
No.
Or is it that it's just getting more attention?
It's getting more attention, and you mentioned the attention-seeking in the last 10 years, probably more like the last 5 years, the advent of YouTube, social media. People want their 15 minutes of fame. Hence, you've seen seemingly more attention paid to streakers who get on the field, fans throwing this, that, or the other, and unruly behavior. It's just, it's the if it bleeds, it leads mentality.
Right, right. Right.
Uh-huh. Hence, I'm not in the media anymore, and no.
Okay.
Awkward segue there. I was going for a joke, didn't work.
No. All right, right.
Listen, me and Jim, we both agreed to disagree the other night when we were talking about this. And, one of the things we did agree on was the whole media aspect of it. Mm-hmm. It is getting more attention. You know, it's got that TMZ-like feel to it now where, this comes out as being big news. It's getting on the scroll of ESPN. You know, that fireman Ed is retiring. I'm not going to necessarily say it's because of the booze being drank at these stadiums. I'm going to have to say it is the media. It's a big part of it.
All right, right. Well, let me play devil's advocate for a moment.
Sure.
Okay. It's not getting the attention that it did before.
No.
San Francisco fans riot onto their city after they win the World Series.
Yeah.
We've had a situation where we had fans being shot outside of 49ers games.
Yeah.
And situations that have occurred at Oakland as well. Mm-hmm. So we've got people opening fire now on people.
Yeah.
Lexington goes nuts after Kentucky wins the NCAA championship last spring. This isn't the kind of behavior, I think, though, Culpepper was talking about in USA Today that was occurring back in the early part of the 1900s.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know what, man? When you're talking about riots, though, compared to something happening with a super fan, I think that's two totally different sides of the bowl.
I disagree. I disagree, Jonathan. It all ties into fan behavior.
No, it is fan behavior, but you know what? I can see a riot getting media attention because, hey, I'm sure people have died in riots, and it is because of fan behavior. But I guarantee you, when the Rangers beat the Vancouver Canucks in 1994 and Vancouver set the city on fire, I guarantee you probably about a good 50% of the people that were doing those riots had no idea what the hell the Vancouver Canucks were about.
And I bet you 100% of those people were drunk off their buttocks.
Okay, but wait, I think...
Some of them were, but you know what? I guarantee you a lot of them just joined in because it was the thing that was going on.
Right.
Okay, but when you're talking about fan behavior and we're talking about somewhere along the line, it has become permissible for us to do what we want, either in celebration or in anger with regard to sports. And I think that is what Fireman Ed, that goes right back to what we're talking about in the very front end of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Fireman Ed is making a statement about a whole atmosphere that has changed. And this is what I'm saying. We can bring up riots in San Francisco and in Lexington, and it all does tie in. Because somewhere along the line, we as fans have the whole line, the moral line, has become gray.
It's been completely blurred and pixelated. I agree with you.
Right.
It's been a mess. It's been a mess. Well, you know what? We have the call come back in, so let's see if we can get Mark from the 732 area code in.
Go ahead.
Mark, you there?
Yeah, good morning. How are you? Jonathan, Michael.
All right.
Am I clear? Are you hearing me?
Yeah, we're getting there.
We're getting there. You know what? It must be on our end because a lot of our fans and listeners are saying that you guys sound great, we sound great, so something's going on here with either a connection or Blog Talk Radio, but we're going to try to make it out as best as we can, Mark. So what do you got to say, bud?
Well, here's what I would say about it. You know, this fireman, Ed, you know, you talk about a guy. He is a fireman, right, retired. Talk about an altruistic, looking out for fellow human beings kind of guy, right? 37 years, he's rooting on his team. He's been the, you know, castigated of late, has had enough, and is pulling out. To me, this is just societal of bullying, and it kind of ties into your point about media exposure and the immediacy of media exposure. People know that they're going to get their 5 minutes of fame, and a lot of them want to do it out of the keg rather than out of the heart. And I think, unfortunately, as Michael just pointed out, the fan base or the nut jobs that dress in colors believes that they can do whatever they want to because they are paying fans. And there is no recourse, availed to somebody like a Fireman Ed, who really was just a good fan and just was trying to do the right thing out of his own heart. He wasn't a mascot. He was a flipping cheerleader. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
If he wore tight skirt and had tits, it would be altogether different, don't you think? I'm just saying.
Listen, media exposure is probably the biggest part of this all, and I can probably say that Jim and I agree on it. Mike, probably not so much right now. but, there's so many super fans out there. You know, New York has so many as it is. Cal Bellman with the Mets. Dancing Larry with the New York Rangers. The late, great Freddie Says with the New York Yankees. I guarantee you Freddie never got attacked at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it because of his age? Was it because he was there for so many years prior to this whole media, coverage? What's really going on with it? I'm sure we can all throw out hints on it. I'm sure, we can all throw out our opinions on it. But when it comes down to it, it's got to be the media. Because look at the way the media is portraying Fireman Ed right now.
Mm-hmm.
The media is portraying Fireman Ed like he was an official New York Jets mascot, like he was being paid to be their mascot,
like a team
which he
representative.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
He was just a fan. He was just a representative.
Yeah.
That's all. Mark, thanks so much for your call, man.
All right, real good. Cheers to you from 32, guys.
All right, thanks.
All right, we also got another call. Hey, Jim, it's one of your partners over here, Cole Chenier from the CLW83 Network.
Uh-oh. The deep
throat. Who's this Jim guy here there?
Carl, can
who's
you hear
this
us?
Jim guy here?
Yep, you, is sir.
It? Hey, John. Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Very good. Very good. This is a little rough today, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's really rough, man. There's bad connection today, man. We don't know what's going on, but a lot of echoing on your end, Carl. So what do you got to say, Carl?
this whole thing's a little bit ridiculous, if you want my personal opinion.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we definitely want your opinion, man. So throw it out. I mean, you know what? You
read the ESPN. And ESPN with their coverage on it, blah, 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 blah. Make it like a big deal. Come on now.
Okay, but I'm confused. Where are you coming down on it?
Super fans can be a good thing in sports. It depends, I guess, what sport you follow and what certain degree it is.
Okay.
It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing,
Yeah, it's a varying degree thing. And Carl, you're you love LSU, okay? And
at least I'll dress up in some kind of mascot uniform.
Well,
Carl, come on, man. You went to an LSU game with your shirt off, painted all up, man. Come on.
Anyway.
Yeah, some kids in the background.
There you go. Carl Smash.
Yeah.
Smash.
No, but listen, every team has a super fan.
Sure.
Honestly, really think about it. No matter what, there is a fan in the stands from each team in every league that people can point out and say, wow, that guy's here all the time and he goes bananas for these games.
Okay.
To me, that's a super fan.
Right.
Sure. You know, Ed's a super fan. Dancing Larry's a super fan. The people in Oakland who get dressed up all crazy and paint, you know, with helmets on and stuff, those are super fans.
They just got the Legion of Doom gear on discount. I maintain that to this very day. Those guys in Oakland.
You know what? Ahmed Johnson had to sell his spikes on eBay. So.
Oh, jeez. Nice reference there. Yeah.
Listen,
very
man. The money, you know? He needed the money, and Oakland Raiders Nation fans were ready to pay.
Right. It's all about the money.
All right, listen. Here's what we can say. So far, what we got is most of it's done because of media exposure.
True.
Right? Jim.
Yeah.
Answer me this right now.
I shall try to.
You're a big Philadelphia sports fan.
Last I checked, yes.
Well, for now, anyway. Let's say the Flyers, for example. They get a guy like Ed. Comes out. He does his thing. Nice guy. Just wants to get the fans riled up. Are you going to chant alongside that guy, or are you just going to say, nah, you suck because you're a super fan?
It's a case-by-case situation, really, when you get right down to it. And the Flyers do have that guy in Shawnee Hill, who is always dancing at the very top row in the upper deck at the Wells Fargo Center. And it's harmless enough. He's not trying to Wally Pip the game, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. My problem is when you're a super fan and you think that you're bigger than the game and you're trying to make the attention more about you than it is about the team. That's the problem I have.
Yeah.
Well, see, I'm not sure if I still get your point, though, Jim, because I don't see where Fireman Ed, in this particular case, was trying to make himself to be bigger than the game.
It's simple. When you put out a press release, like you are higher and mightier than thou art, even though he's not trying to be, let me see if I can make this clear. He put out a press release of his own volition to make it known, to make it a story. The media feeds off that. When they hear Fireman Ed and the Jets and he's leaving and the team's tanking, put one and one together, Mike.
Yeah, well, no, I hear you. The timing probably wasn't the best.
The timing sucked.
Yeah, I agree with
you.
It definitely sucked, no doubt about it. But, you know what, I'm kind of glad he did it in a way because now, you know, you get to look at it saying, you know what, even a guy like Ed can't stand what's going on in New York anymore.
That's the test of it. That's the point they're trying to get across, too. Yeah.
Exactly, which is what, you know what, if any other fan did this, you would hear nothing about it.
Okay, but wait a minute. Now, Jim, have you seen that press release? Because I actually haven't read the press release.
It was something that Fireman Ed wrote on his own website.
Okay. I picked up bits and pieces of it, and I don't disagree with some of what he has to say with the way fans are acting, but it can't be just, ooh, it just happened. It comes off as if, oh, well, you know, it just happened recently. It's probably been building for years, but the timing, again, leaves one to question the motive.
Okay, but that's why I'm asking whether, you know, I'd actually like to see, I'd like to see exactly what his statement was.
I would try to bring it up, but I'm afraid that the call will go on.
No, I got you. I'm just wondering if in his statement he actually came out and said, look, this has nothing to do with the team, with the team's record, or any of that.
He did.
So why?
He even referenced, I was here for the Rich Cotite years. We're not in the Rich Cotite era of Jets football. So
you don't
want to be the Rich Cotite era of anything except maybe pumping an Atlanta gas station. I don't know.
I agree with you. You know, listen, I lived through that era too here in Philly.
But, oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? Let me bring this up because I just came across this. Dolphins have their own fan.
Yeah,
everyone's super fan. Big Papa Pump.
I know what you're going to bring up.
Yeah, he actually told 790 the Ticket in Miami, and I'm going to quote this.
Yeah.
If you're stepping down because of what you see, getting your butt whipped week in and week out and haven't been to the Super Bowl since Super Bowl III, that is a wuss. That is a wuss. You don't back out of your team like that. That's something you don't do. You don't step down from being a super fan. You just don't do that. Fireman Ed, you are a disgrace.
This is a – come on, please. I don't even want to bring his comment up. I think it's shameful. This is another super fan from a team in his own division. Come on.
Trying to get
attention.
Listen.
I could understand if Fireman Ed came out and said, hey, I can't take this no more. The Jets are garbage. I'm done with it. He didn't say that. Fireman Ed is still going to be going to games. He's a season ticket holder. What he said was that because of all the stuff that's going on with people confronting him and things starting to get violent, he's backing out of it. So this just goes to show me that Big Papa Pump down in Miami really didn't read or hear what was going on. He probably heard through the grapevine that Fireman Ed's stepping down because the Jets lost to the Patriots.
Well, and I hear you, and let's get it straight. Big Papa Pump here, okay, down there in Miami, he's exactly what Mark, our caller, was just on talking about. This guy's looking for his 5 minutes of fame to springboard off of Fireman Ed.
Bingo. Yeah. Bingo.
I don't know. Ow. It's a shame. Listen, it's a shame no matter what. I've met Ed on dozens of occasions, treated me very nice. To me, he was a class act. I thought what he was doing was something that he enjoyed, and he got fans behind him. I saw no problem with it. All of a sudden now, comments coming out, it's like, wow, you know what? 98% of the fan base are against him. Why? Because he wore a Mark Sanchez jersey this season?
Right.
Because
right.
he didn't show support for Tim Tebow? Why would he do that?
Right.
You know, if he wore a Greg McElroy jersey, who cares? He's still wearing a Jets jersey.
I got a comment.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Was that? Okay.
So I wouldn't mind seeing him wearing a McElroy jersey.
Yeah, for your own biased reasons, Carl, yes.
Yeah, because I think he's the better quarterback out of those two numbnuts.
Three, yeah.
You got an NFL pile on me. Come on now.
Jim, let me throw this one at you because I know you are a Philadelphia fan. And I've got a comment sitting over here in my IM box from Brandon. Brandon makes the comment, you know, we're talking about fan behavior. We're talking about, you know, fans coming to the stadium and perhaps creating issues, creating scenes. What about the sign man down there at the Eagles games? And where it actually appears that the team in themselves is shutting that fan down.
Why? Because he had a fire Andy Reid sign?
Well, there have been tremendous rumors about all that kind of stuff, particularly recently with everything that's going on in Philadelphia, a la very similar to what's going on up in Jetsland.
True. Censorship, it's one of those things. I mean, censorship should never be put in place. Let me rephrase this. Barring the most extreme circumstances,
yeah.
Censorship should not be put in place. You pay to go to the game. You have the right to express what you want to express. And I think the sign guy in Philadelphia is one of the better ones at that because you don't have to be vocal. You don't have to jump up and down. You just put it on a banner and let the masses see it.
And that's where the superfan started.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where superfans started from. You know, you looked at games in the 60s and 80s, the guys walking around with a little sign on a stick.
Sure. And they get on Monday Night Football or they get on the big game of the week. Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, the Philadelphia Flyers have known a sign man or two. Let's get that one straight since 1974-75.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell us
who
the Flyers.
We as fans looked forward to seeing what kind of punny little thing he was going to put up there.
Right, it was cute. It was by and large harmless. By and
exactly.
large,
exactly.
So,
wow, this has been a good one. This has been a good one, Jonathan.
It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. You know what, man? I still like what Fireman did. You know what Fireman Ed has done for the Jets.
So do I.
For the fan base itself.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm sorry.
The disgrace of how sports is coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You could blame media exposure, but at the same time, you can blame the fans yourself because there's been so many incidents now. You know, Brian Stoke getting his, getting brutally beaten in San Francisco.
Right.
You know, the Phillies fan from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, throwing up on the little girl. I mean, it's just getting out of control.
See that? You got to bring up the Phillies, don't you? Huh? You got to bring up Santa Claus, too?
No.
Didn't they bring up J.D. Drew? I was at that game, by the way, the J.D. Drew Battery Gate game.
The Battery Game? Yeah. You know,
J.D. Drew didn't become an official spokesperson for Duracell after that? Man, it still baffled me.
I'm still upset my sign didn't get on TV, but then again, I was up at the skybox, so I guess that's why. Man,
okay, what did it say, Jim? Come on, give it up.
Well, I had a poster sign. This was a birthday present, August 10th, 1999, 10 days before my birthday. It's all about the Benjamins. I had that because that was a big song back then, and, you know, with the J.D. Drew and everything. I actually got to explain the sign to Harry Callis after the game, which was a highlight in and of itself. So
there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, listen, unfortunately, we have 10 minutes left. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today, man. It's been a pleasure, man. We hope to get you back on real soon.
A pleasure, privilege, and honor. Glad to have you part of the CLW83 Banners and Affiliated podcast. And if I may quickly plug, be sure to listen on Thursday on CLW83.com for the BS Big Show presented by FanJunkies.net. Ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
We'll be there.
Great stuff, guys.
Listening.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Please,
thanks,
back on again, will you?
You got it, man. You got it. Thanks.
Take care, bud. Great stuff, Mike.
Absolutely good. Yeah, I mean,
We apologize to our callers who were calling. We couldn't get to. There's a really big connection issue today, it seems.
Oh, man, it's been rough.
Jim sounded terrible. Carl, you sounded like you were speaking to the tornado. And Mark, in the beginning, you sounded like Optimus Prime to us. So
it's been rough going here.
You know what, man? I really wanted to egg Carl on because our good friend Brett Clint Daniel, he was like, you know what? Why don't you ask Carl about Les Miles leaving LSU for Arkansas? So that, you know, Carl probably would have flipped out, and I'm sure that would have been the end of our show there. So let's get to our picks real quick. Week 13 NFL, Mike.
Yep.
Can't really explain most of these things, so let's just get right to it.
Yeah, we'll try to get through them real quick here.
New Orleans Saints at Atlanta Falcons. Who do you got?
Atlanta's got to lose one of these weeks, and I'm picking on it for this week. I'm going to take New Orleans. New Orleans coming off the loss from last week.
Falcons always find a way to win. They're going to win this game.
Okay.
Seattle Seahawks at the Chicago Bears.
Seattle's been a surprising team, albeit Chicago favored by 4. I'm taking Chicago.
Cool. I got Chicago as well. Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. Mike, who do you got?
I sat here looking at this one this morning. I kind of wanted to go with Minnesota. My hand was going in that direction to circle them, and then all of a sudden it came over like a Ouija board, and it picked Green Bay.
Oh, man. San Francisco 49ers. I almost said San Francisco Giants. Talking baseball before. San Francisco 49ers at the St. Louis Rams. Mike, who do you got?
No brainer. 7-point favorite are the 49ers. Can we say 14-point favorite? Go with San Francisco.
San Francisco as well on my end. Arizona Cardinals at the New York Jets.
You know something, Jonathan? We've been talking about the Jets here, it seems like, all afternoon now for the past hour. The team is a team going in reverse. Arizona's got to win one after dropping 7 in a row. I think this might be the week. I'm going to pick an upset in Arizona.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take the Jets. I still think they're a better team than Arizona.
Of course you will.
Hey, listen, I didn't pick them the last 2 weeks.
I know.
Carolina Panthers at Kansas City Chiefs.
Why is this line only 3 points in favor of Carolina, huh? Really? I know Carolina doesn't have a terrific record, but we're talking about the KC Chiefs. Take Carolina.
They're both horrible. I pick Carolina, though. Indianapolis Colts at Detroit Lions.
I'm not convinced on the Detroit Lions just yet. Indy seems like a team that is looking up and saying, yeah, we can still make the playoffs. I'm going to go with Indy on this and take the upset.
Wow. All right, I'm going with the Lions. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Buffalo Bills.
I'd love to take Jacksonville, but I just can't. So I got to go with the Bills. 6-point favorite on this one.
Well, considering you take the Miami Dolphins against every top team in the NFL for the last 60 years, I'm taking Jacksonville.
Well, that one's coming up next, dude.
Exactly.
Where do you think I'm going?
New England at the Miami Dolphins.
No. It's New England now, okay?
Come on. You can do it, Mike. Come on. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
New England's a 7.5-point favorite. No way. I got to live at the frat house. I'm picking New England.
Wow, okay, I got New England, too. I know Brandon will be happy and proud of us. Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans.
Houston, easily. 5.5, that line should be higher.
Yes, exactly. Houston Texans as well. This is going to be a good game. I had a little trouble picking this one, Mike. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Denver Broncos.
And Tampa Bay's been a surprising little team recently, haven't they, huh?
They're getting the
sitting at 6-5. I don't know if they're going to – I doubt highly. Unless something dramatic happens, I don't see them making the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't like the line. I think it's high, but nonetheless, I'm going to pick Denver.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to pick Denver, and I was like, you know what? I really like what Freeman and Martin are doing right now and Vincent Jackson. I was like, you know what? Let me pick Tampa Bay. But in the end, I got Denver.
Oh, man, you really confused me there for a moment.
Right. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, we're not sure yet at this moment right now. The report I heard this morning, Roethlisberger, 50% chance of playing. However, I think even if he does, he's probably not going to be as effective. Regardless of what the line ultimately will be, I say take Baltimore on this one.
Yeah, Baltimore as well. Cleveland Browns at the Oakland Raiders.
You know, I really like what I've seen from Cleveland recently. I know that they're an up-and-down team, but, boy, when they put together a game, they put together a game, and it's usually competitive and exciting. This is the pick'em game. This is a pick'em game, and I'm picking Cleveland.
Yep, I got Cleveland as well. I don't think Oakland's winning this one at all. Cincinnati Bengals, almost said Reds again, at the San Diego Chargers.
You got baseball on the mind.
You know what? Because most of the stuff we talked about was about baseball.
Why is Cincinnati only a point and a half favorite? I'm not quite sure. Probably because it's...
Because it's Dorf Turner, man, and his amazing defense and offense.
Okay. All right. What Kool-Aid are you drinking today?
Same Kool-Aid that most of the other people are drinking.
Wait, laced with Adderall today or what?
Yeah.
Let me look. Cincinnati is looking at the playoffs. They're looking at the possibility of getting in there. So I'm going to tell you right now, a point and a half. This is silly. Take Cincinnati.
Yeah, Bengals as well. This matchup, Philadelphia Eagles at the Dallas Cowboys. Brett Kinlan-Daniel said, instead of picking the winner, we should pick which wide receiver will beat Nnamdi Asamoah deep this week.
Yeah, well, listen, which, how many? How about that one? How about that one? Let's pick how many will beat him.
Yeah.
I don't like the line. I think it's a little high, but I'm going to tell you right now, I was saying last night, I haven't had a season like this with my Philadelphia Eagles probably since the last year of Rich Kotite. I really do not care about this Philadelphia Eagles team. You will probably not hear me pick them again for the rest of the season. I'm picking Dallas.
Wow, man, we both had awful teams over this with Rich Kotite as the head coach. Isn't that funny?
No, it's not funny. It's Rich Kotite.
Listen, I can laugh about it now because I'm still delirious over it. I got Dallas, and I'm going to tell you right now, for my boy Brett, I say Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, Kevin Ogletree, Jason Witten, they all beat Nnamdi for a touchdown.
particularly if the Eagles are playing zone.
Yes. Tony Romo will torch the Philadelphia Eagles for 950 yards.
Wow.
New York Giants, Washington Redskins, Monday Night Football. This might be a good one, Mike.
This could be a really, really good game. In fact, it might be one of the best games of the entire weekend, and it's the Monday night game. Now, look, let's take a look at this for a moment. Let's just say the Dallas does win. That would put them at 6-6. Washington has got to win if they hope to stay competitive in the East. And as I pointed out last week, we are not going to see a wild card coming out of the East. The only way you get into the playoffs is you got to win the division. I'm going to pick an upset. I'm going to pick Washington to win this.
All right. I got the Giants. I think from what we've seen from the Giants this week, they're back on track. They're going to win it.
All right.
Good picks, Mike, as
yep.
always. 2 minutes left in the show. Just want to thank all of our callers from today, Jim Williams, Carl Chenier, Mark from New Jersey, also all the people that joined us in the chat room, Brett Kinlan-Daniel for throwing out some great comments via Fan Junkies chat with us. So, you know what? As always, check out Mike and the crew over at frathousesports.net. Head over to fanjunkies.net. Sign up. Great stuff always going on there.
We got a big show on Friday, Johnny.
Big show on Friday. Former NBA player Willie Burton will be joining us, so make sure you listen in on that. We're going to be talking a lot of NBA on Friday with Willie Burton.
Yep.
Once again, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Next to me, Mike McShane. We'll see you on Friday.
Gotcha then.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.